This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio live on the Liberty News Radio Network. It is approximately 9 minutes after the hour on Saturday, May 23rd, 2021. May 22nd. I'm a little ahead of myself. Anyways, I'm so far ahead, I'm in the next day. How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, man. People have been asking me how come we ain't been on in a week or two or three. And I just tell them, hey, shut the front door and listen tonight.
Right. And 2 weeks ago, we had the great Brandon Tatum on, who's just killed on YouTube. Last week, we had to run a best of for the simple fact I was having some power problems over at the homestead. Something called outstanding balances from the power company, but I was able to take care of that. But anyways, first order of business, like always, we want to remember and need to remember members of the law enforcement community who are murdered in line of duty. And unfortunately, tonight we have a long list. First, we want to remember Police Officer Chris Oberheim of the Champaign, Illinois Police Department, end of watch, May 19th, 2021. His killer was shot and killed, thankfully. Also, Police Officer Christopher Inn of the Stockton, California Police Department, end of watch, May 11th, 2021. His killer was shot and killed. Also, Sergeant Stephen Jones of the Concho County, Texas Sheriff's Office, end of watch, May 10th, 2021. And also, Deputy Samuel Coleman of the Concho County Sheriff's Office in Texas, and the watch, May 10th, 2021. Their killer is alive and well. The mayor had to talk the killer into surrendering. Also, Detective Luca Benedetti of the St. Louis Obispo, California Police Department, and the watch, May 10th, 2021. His killer committed suicide. Three names on May the 10th. That's just three too many. But be careful out there. You have it awful. We know. We've been there. We've seen it once before, but you know, this too shall pass. But anyways, well, we got a heck of a show. First off, another news of note for members of the law enforcement, our former department, the New York City Police Department. It says something when you got the political cesspool radio show, which is a very right-wing, very conservative, not neocon, very conservative radio show with traditional family values and support, you know, God and family and having families and things like that. But it says a lot when the political cesspool has more compassion and tolerance for gay people than a group of gay people who are advocates for gay people. What am I talking about? In 2016, a disgusting human being shot up a place called the Pulse Nightclub in Orlando, Florida, because he thought his religion said to murder gay people. These people in the nightclub were just going about their business, not harming anyone, just having a good time. You know, that's what America's all about. But anyways, James Edwards, Jim Lancia, and Sean Berger spent an entire hour breaking down the incident, what happened, the silence from the media, as the shooter turned out to be a devout Muslim. So then, you know, the narrative is, okay, Muslim kills gay people. Guess what? We're going to protect the Muslim. And actually nothing about gun control. And, you know, we felt sorry for the victims and prayed for the victims' families, despite the fact that we don't agree with the homosexual lifestyle. And we fight the gay mafia tooth and nail. But anyways, the group called Pride NYC, which is the organizer and sponsor of the Gay Pride Parade in June, said that they want no members of the law enforcement community, including New York City Police, New York City Corrections. They don't even want those officers marching in the parade as Pride members of both the LGBTQIA, MTA society, and members of law enforcement, which is just absolutely perplexing. I mean, the law enforcement is not going after gay people. They're going after people who draw attention to themselves and are doing something they shouldn't be. Now, you know, a lot of times if you act a fool, you win. Correction, you play stupid games, you're going to win stupid prizes. But just for the simple fact that you're on the Black Lives Matter bandwagon and you don't want members of the law enforcement community in your parade. I mean, that's in, you know, NYPD's bent over backwards, pardon the pun. They signed off on not having a gay officer actually. And also every June during the Gay Pride Parade, they painted the RMPs rainbow colors, and which actually just a total embarrassment to the NYPD. Well, what say you about this situation where the political cesspool looks more tolerant to gays than actual gay people?
Well, you know, it's always boils down to this. And, you know, and I say this about a lot of different cultures and beliefs and such. If you believe in it, more power to you. This is America. It's what it's about. I mean, you know, freedom of expression and, you know, freedom of all the benefits that the amendments give us. However, certain groups, this one in particular now, are putting their own little asterisk, so to speak, on our Constitution. You know, you have your First Amendment, freedom of assembly, which is what this is going to be, you know, the Pride Parade thing. But they add an asterisk to it, which they really have no right to do, because now they're violating the rights of other people. And it's a conflict. And it happens time and time again. You know, they're not letting anybody that is even part of them to be involved in what they're doing in these pride parades and such. There's no way that anybody should be denied to have freedom of assembly because somebody that's having the assembly says, no, you can't because you're a cop, or you can't because you're white or you're black or you're green or you're Asian. They don't have the right to say that. And then they want, when something happens, then they want the people that they say can't march with them, gay or not, to come in and save them when the snot hits the fan.
Right. Right. Well, anyways, while we're just getting warmed up, coming up next, we're going to talk about a group of people that you don't want to miss. Trust me, I got a name for it. I'll wait until after the end of the break. Follow us at 75radio.org. That's 75radio.org. Take away, boys.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. I am outside of Judiciary Square in downtown Washington, D.C., near the famous wall. Unfortunately, I was about a block away because the city decided to set up a COVID clinic on the other side of the memorial, and it's inaccessible to vehicles, and there's nobody there because it is about 20 minutes after 10 in Washington, D.C. But anyways, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to call this segment the Bad Black Broads Who Happen to Be Mayor of U.S. Cities. That's the Bad Black Broads Who Happen to Be Mayor of U.S. Cities. What am I talking about? A group of females who happen to be chief executives of various cities just totally suck. First, we're going to talk about one Lori Lightfoot, who looks like a tranny. I hate to say this, but you have Lightfoot, who is born a female, I guess. She looks more rough around the edges than one Bruce Jenner. I refuse to call Bruce Jenner this other cockamamie name. But anyways, Ms. Lightfoot made headlines all over the place because she said she wanted to be interviewed one-on-one by journalists who have to be brown or black. And so then all you white hockey journalists have to go jump in the lake. She was just sick and tired of seeing white faces as journalists instead of black and brown. I think this is a smart move on her honor because for the simple fact that Chicago's turned a war zone. You have black bodies piled up in the street. The streets are flowing with blood, and she probably has more news coming down the pike, or she's hiding something that she doesn't want mainstream media to come out with. So all the media, all these talking points and us are talking about, well, you know, what if it was a white mayor said, I don't want white faces coming to interview me one-on-one. I mean, Ms. Lightfoot, black and brown people don't want to become journalists. I don't know why. And also, Her Honor is married to a white woman who also happens to look like a man too. So anyways, what say you about Mayor Lightfoot only want to be interviewed one-on-one with black and brown faces?
The issue around this nonsense with I don't want to be I don't want to be interviewed by a white person or a white journalist or a green journalist. That's a bunch of hogwash and baloney. You know, it's just smoke. It's so ridiculous. She's afraid that there is somebody out there going to ask the correct questions.
Right.
Instead of being sisters in the hood, so to speak, because Chicago's population is dropping, you know, on a daily basis. You know, you said that a few minutes ago. The bodies are just piling up. You know, do the arithmetic. You had King Cuomo dictating to the world on CNN last year how many people were dying from COVID every day when he had no fact. But we know why most of the people in Chicago were dying. They're dying from gunshots from each other. And why is she not standing up and saying, we had five young black men killed last night. We had two young black men. We had a four-year-old killed got caught in a crossfire. You know, she's protecting her people, so to speak.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't matter if she's if she's heterosexual or homosexual, she is not holding up her end of her elective. The city is falling apart. Less than 2 years ago, you had Jussie Smollett, you know, saying that white people attacked him. And we found that not to be true. Not a peep out of this woman. Not a peep out of this woman. Not a defense that, you know, stereotyped as white people are taking over the world and they're going to beat up every black guy they see or every black woman they see. They're killing each other up there in Chicagoland in the Windy City. She needs to address those things, not worry about who's going to ask a question or not.
Right. And then we'll go from Chicago to another bad lesbian mayor of color, District of Columbia's own Marielle Bowser. Now, she never, ever came out said that she is a lesbian, but she's never been married, and she recently adopted a little girl, and she's still single, even though she's in her 40s or 50s. But anyways, she's another awful mayor who happens to be black and a female. This week alone, two major stories, a mother and a child were shot after some degenerate on one of these electric scooters shot her because this guy was riding on the sidewalk like an idiot. And also, a grandmother is gunned down by a bunch of, say, people of color for an unknown reason. She was shot and killed, 65 years old, shot and killed in her front yard for no reason. And then also you have a mom who throws a boy in the trash and is charged with murder. And they haven't found the body, and this mother was released on bail. We can't blame the mayor on that, but as somebody who drives to the city, works in the city, has a deal with the city, I can say Marielle Bowser frankly sucks. The Metropolitan Police Department is one of the worst-run organizations in all of law enforcement. Besides a police department that has its hands tied behind its back, you have roads are falling apart. Instead of fixing the roads, they're putting bike lanes in the roads. They're closing down roads so they have less cars go traveling through because the mayor wants people out of their cars. Meanwhile, the metro system, which covers both district and Maryland and Virginia, is still falling apart. And so she's doing an absolutely piss poor job. But the person who takes the cake is, I'm going to pass it over to Walter. Walter, who is your bad black broad who happens to be mayor of a city?
Oh, you mean, the mayor of Rochester, New York. Northern New York,
right.
near the Canadian border. Her name is Lovely Warren. Okay. Mayor Lovely Warren, who is a early 40s lady of color, who has been elected to two terms as Rochester mayor. She's seeking a third term now. If people remember last year, it was an apparent cover-up in the death of a black man, Daniel Prude, who died in police custody, and she fired the police chief. Okay, this mayor fired the police chief. That seemed to be the common thing last year. You know, if a male black dies in your custody, you fire the cop that you think is responsible even before there's a trial, or the chief of police. You know, because they got to get to the root of the problem. Well, the root for most problems in police departments is usually at the top. Anyway, this mayor, lovely Warren, has a husband, and his name is Granison. She didn't even take his name, Timothy Granison. She didn't even take his last name. Anyway, he was arrested on an 8-month investigation on cocaine trafficking. They grabbed him on Wednesday. He was grabbed by local police Wednesday with $60,000 worth of cocaine and $100,000 in cash and automatic weapons between on his person, in his vehicle, and in his home. Apparently, they're estranged at this point because they have a separation agreement, and she's claiming absolutely no knowledge of her husband's line of work. Wow. They haven't been estranged for more than a year. And you don't start carrying that kind of weight just overnight and that much cash in your house.
Right,
just
right.
By,
hey, well, we'll save it to the other end of the story. Stay tuned for, we'll talk about weight and cash and how you get in the game. Also, U.S. Army's recruiting social justice warriors. Stay tuned, everybody.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United Nations Security Council has called on Israel and Hamas to fully adhere to a ceasefire agreed upon earlier this week. The statement from the council issued Saturday also urged humanitarian aid to be sent to the Palestinian civilian population in Gaza. It was the council's first public statement on the conflict that saw 11 days of fighting between Israel and Hamas militants in the Gaza Strip. The United Nations announced Friday that it was releasing $22.5 million in humanitarian aid to Gaza. And for the seventh straight year, the Atlantic hurricane season has gotten underway earlier than normal. Subtropical Storm Ana became the first named Atlantic storm of the year, forming near Bermuda. The storm, currently carrying sustained winds of around 40 miles per hour, is expected to head farther out into the Atlantic over the weekend. The official start of the Atlantic hurricane season isn't until June 1st, and it's not expected to be as busy as last year. The latest forecasts call for between 13 and 20 named storms in 2021, with five of them strengthening into major hurricanes. This is USA Radio News.
Energized Health. Awesome and amazing day. Men, John Jubilee with Energized Health. And I want to just talk to you man to man for a moment. 1/3 of men 50 and over suffer with high blood pressure. That high blood pressure medication has a horrible side effect. Worse than death. Erectile dysfunction. And it's brutal, but let's just talk about it medically. We have had thousands of people completely reverse diabetes, high blood pressure, irritable bowel syndrome, yes, and ED, raise their testosterone 500 points naturally through the breakthrough science of intercellular hydration. Men, if you're intelligent, you're skeptical. I want you to be skeptical. But go log on to our website, energizehealth.com. Click that red button, watch a masterclass, and then watch thousands of men just like you who reversed every single issue that I just mentioned. I don't make a claim. My clients make a claim. EnergizeHealth.com.
A former health official says he's feeling confident about the country's short-term future in the battle against COVID. Mike Fortier reports.
Former FDA Chief Dr. Scott Gottlieb sees reason for optimism as COVID cases decline.
I think we're going to have a very quiet summer with respect to coronavirus spread and then have to contend with it again as we head into the winter.
Gottlieb on CNBC Friday. He also discusses our chances of reaching herd immunity.
Well, we might be approaching it. We've now vaccinated close to 50% of the public that has at least one dose.
Variant strains continue to spread in other parts of the world, but Gottlieb says so far the vaccines we have are showing resistance. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
New cases of COVID-19 in the U.S. have fallen to levels not seen since last summer. The 7-day average of daily new infections is now just around 25,000, the lowest point since mid-June of 2020. Deaths from the virus have also fallen to a 7-day average of 552, the lowest since last July. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Ah!
you're still listening, here's more 7-5 Radio.
Yes, they are still listening. Anyways, we're talking about the bad black broads who happen to be mayor of U.S. cities. And we're talking about Lovely Warren, whose husband was picked up for dealing dope. Now, Walter, you said he was dealing weight. What does that mean to people who doesn't know, understand what they call it, the game?
Weight is pounds. You know, cocaine, you know, is shipped in kilos, which is like 2.2 pounds per kilo. So since we haven't caught up to the metric system except the drug dealers, it's 2.2 pounds is a kilo. Apparently, he was caught with two in his car. Now, you know, where are you going? You know, and he had 60 grand in cash on him. So where'd you just come from? There was also an automatic weapon involved in the car. And when they searched his home, $100,000 in cash and more weapons. So, you know, this guy, you know, you just don't become this type of a person that carries this kind of weight and this kind of currency, you know, overnight. They're separated. They have a separation agreement, which I don't know what that might entail, but that's what she said in a news conference. But, you know, if your husband is estranged from you and he's got $100,000 in cash, like I said, he just didn't get it last weekend, something that he's been working on. You know, I'm sure it's not the same $100,000 that he had 2 years ago or a year ago. You know, this is an ongoing thing if you carry that kind of weight. So, you know, my on the police force and my experience being involved with that kind of underworld thing, it just don't happen overnight. It doesn't. You start out a small potato. Oops. Oh, that's the mayor's husband. All right. Let's give him some more work. You know, he could probably get us out of stuff, you know, dropping names and such. So that's where I see the conflict is. They're going to have to look at past arrests and see who got off because the mayor's name was dropped. You know, this is not a good situation for what they call empowered ladies of color, women of color, in prestigious positions like mayor. And that's what our topic is tonight. Right. You know, you can talk about de Blasio all you want. Everybody knows him. What we're trying to do is expose what's going on behind the scenes that you don't hear. And which is, we're not picking on them. They just happen to be females. They just happen to be women of color. And they just happen to be mayors of crappy cities. Not that Democrats. The cities are crappy. Don't get me wrong. You know, people in Rochester, people in Chicago, you know, more power to the good people. But right. These are this is the dredge of society that's gotten to these points of elected officials that are letting your city sink into the swamp deeper and deeper and deeper.
Exactly. But well said, Walt. Anyways, moving right along, question I have, I posted this week on the website, which is 75radio.org. What the hell happened to the U.S. Army? Because the U.S. Army produced some of the greatest warriors ever to walk this earth, including Sergeant Alvin York, General George S. Patton, Major Audie Murphy, who happened to make major and win the Congressional Medal of Honor before he hit 25 years old. And now the Army changed just a little bit. You have Bradley Manning, who was born a male, wanted to become Bruce Jenner, wants to be called Chelsea Manning, decided to upload classified documents and classified information to WikiLeaks. Which more or less is a traitor. Now they say, well, there's nothing wrong with being a transvestite. Well, I give you one, Bradley Manning. And then the one division, one department, or one unit of the U.S. Army decided to celebrate LGBT Pride Awareness or Pride Month. And I am not making this up whatsoever. And this is not a parody or a skit on YouTube or Saturday Night Live. Again, if you go to the website, you can see that this unit from the Army put this together, and they said it was as serious as can be. Then you have the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, which was one of the most prestigious military schools on Earth. Some of the graduates include Robert E. Lee, Douglas MacArthur, Dwight Eisenhower, Blackjack Pershing, George Patton, and Buzz Aldrin. Well, West Point went to crap too. A bunch of the female cadets decided to assemble from one of the buildings and raise the right hand in the Black Power salute, which is totally goes against good order discipline, especially at West Point. I mean, to get in West Point, you have to know somebody who's somebody, and you have to have your stuff together, or you can be like one of these females, raise your hand in the Black Power fist. But then just when you thought the U.S. Army could not look any worse, the Army put out a recruiting video of this girl named Emma, who was adopted by two gay mothers who became married and was a social justice warrior. She went to protests and things like that. And then she goes to University of California at Davis, and I guess she graduates. So anyways, so she enlists. So she graduates with a bachelor's degree but enlists. But you in the Army is much less stricter than the Air Force or the Navy and the Marines. If you can have a bachelor's degree, you can apply for Officer Candidate School, but she decides to enlist, which just requires a GED or better. So anyways, the Army's telling us that accepting gays, raising children as gays, marching for gay rights, and the right to gay to get married is okay. And it's just the biggest embarrassment for the U.S. Army, because the Army needs people to put warheads on foreheads. And, you know, for the most part, kids who join the military, they're poor, they have no opportunities, they need a job, or they're screw up, or it's court ordered. And, you know, for me, I fit two of the three categories. So, but anyways, they want to make social justice warriors into real warriors. Don't look for people like Emma going into special operations such as like Rangers, Green Berets, Delta, or any of those great units, you know, but it's just total embarrassment. And, you know, you have other countries with their recruiting videos, and it's all guys, and they look tough as nails, and they play with guns, and no social justice warrioring, that is even such a word. Well, what's the you on the this embarrassment? Because I know your father fought along Eddie Egan in the Marine Corps in World War II.
Well, yeah, they were. It was right after the war they joined. They were 16. Anyway, the embarrassment goes back to Clinton. And when these when people of non-heterosexual persuasion, it's tough on the heterosexuals that are in the shower rooms, because this is still relatively new to the entire world. You know, the people can say that they've been in the closet for 25 years. Well, hell, that's got nothing to do with me. I'm still gonna not enjoy my shower in a locker room, because it's just, what's the word I'm looking for, Scoop? It's weird. Not that it's not right. It's not paranoia. It's somewhere along those lines, you know, where
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. The comfort zone is tainted. And, you know, until, you know, the next generation, which is going to be more used to the LGBT stuff, the generation that's just behind us, you know, 15 to 20 years, that are growing into it, will be much more tolerant of those ways. You know, as far as the embarrassment, you know, to the United States Armed Services, it comes down to what you could do and what you can't do and what you shouldn't do. You know, if you could be a soldier and, you know, you're, you know, gay, lesbian, you know, hey, you know, if you're going to save my ass, well, pardon the pun, now that poor choice works. You know, if you're going to save my life, you know, more power to you. I'm in debt, you know. I do have friends that you know, are in the LGBTQ community. But the people that I know do not get jobs because of it. Push their beliefs on you when you're having a conversation about anything. So when you have to push, it's like the Jehovah Witnesses coming to my door. You know, if you got to go door to door to let people know about, you know, your religion or your belief, then it isn't any good if it's not going to be recognized generally. So, you know, right. You know, get the hell on away from my door. And no, I don't want to talk about your homosexuality and how tough it was to come out of the closet. That's not my business. I'm not going to feel sorry for you, because you're not going to feel sorry for me the first time I had heterosexual sex in my lifetime.
Well, hold that.
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know. I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
Man.
We can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where'd all these cats come from?
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Thank you, man, Mr. Edwards. Quick news of note, we are coming along further in the digital age of the 21st century. We are now on your favorite podcasting service. That's right. The same episodes you hear on this here air, you can hear on your favorite podcasting service. We are currently on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Spreaker, and something called Deezer. We'll be on more podcasts when we get approved by our podcast server. So anyways, if you listen to Spotify, to Joe Rogan, I don't know why you would, check us out at 75 Radio. But anyways, well, I wanted to talk about the killing of talk radio. Our good friend Patrick Dean O'Ryan tells us that talk radio is corporate-owned, corporate-operated, and government-approved. But anyways, over 30 years ago, Rush Limbaugh saved talk radio. He didn't revolutionize it. Bob Grant did it. Anyways, what he did was give conservatives a voice. He inspired others. He inspired thousands of others to jump into talk radio, including Sean Hannity, Neil Bortz, Mark Levin, Michael Savage, Glenn Beck, and yours truly. Talk radio became so popular that it even crossed into the FM frequency, because for the longest time it was relegated to the AM frequency. But just as things change, people are going listening to music other ways. Talk radio is going on the FM dial. Talk radio dominated radio for over 20 years, and the Fox News Channel came about because American conservatives wanted their news without so much liberal bias. Then came one, Don Imus. Don Imus was a pioneer, but not in radio, but in cancel culture. In 2007, Imus was making jokes about the Rutgers University women's basketball team, calling them nappy-headed hoes. Imus was fired from MSNBC and WFAN. Since then, countless other people, primarily white men, have lost their ways to earn a living on the radio because their thoughts were politically incorrect. Now, with the fallout of the cancel culture, talk radio has regressed. Personalities are told what they can say and not say, and we're not just talking about the seven dirty words. Cumulus Media has told all of its on-air staff not to say that the presidential election of 2020 was stolen. Now, I can imagine what they say concerning like race in Israel, but that still wasn't enough. Talk radio legend Michael Savage was pulled from two major markets, Washington, D.C., and New York, by Cumulus Media. Savage is syndicated by Cumulus Media and the talk radio stations, WMAL in D.C., and WABC at the time was owned by Cumulus Media. So Cumulus is paying Savage to more or less not talk in those cities. And no reason was given why Savage was taken off the air, because he was number one in this time slot in both markets. But anyways, most talk radio hosts on terrestrial and even satellite radio all sound the same. Republicans good, Democrats bad, Israel's great, Israel has no better friend than the U.S., you know, so on and so forth. They never stay away from the script. Sean Bergen, who went out and took a stand and talked about black crime and made international news, but would have been perfect for talk radio or television. But he was all but ignored, except for, you guess it, Liberty News Radio. Anthony Cumia was fired for what he posted on Twitter. Nobody from mainstream media or the world of comedy came to Cumia's defense, because he actually didn't say anything, didn't do anything, just said he was attacked by a black female in Times Square who was just acting a savage. And no comedians came to him, despite the fact that him and Opie Hughes gave these people careers. So he too has his own podcast, as well as Patrick Ryan. He was on Sirius. He was on terrestrial radio. He said, you know what, this is not for me. See you later. Anyways, radio executives, station managers, and program directors, you need to wake up. Radio is dying. You muzzle the talent and fire those who do not comply. When was the last time any talk radio show had a 10-minute block of commercials? Yep, 10-minute block. Well, it was about 10 years ago when Opie Anthony and Howard Stern had 10-minute blocks of commercials, charging thousands of dollars a minute. But as you keep killing terrestrial radio, podcast galore, as well as internet radio, is booming. Personalities such as Brandon Tatum and Mark Dice have over a million subscribers. That's huge numbers with no promotion. Now, we advertise on JB Gunn's YouTube channel. Imagine a radio guy advertising on YouTube channel to listen to the radio. But anyways, besides entertaining personalities and going to other platforms, car and home technology is getting smarter. People no longer are stuck with just listening to the radio or the CD. They got Bluetooth and they have everything else in the car. The car's almost becoming a jukebox. But I ask all those who run radio to wake up and smell the coffee. If you love this business like I do, fight for it. Let your hosts say what they want to say. Take a chance on those who are still hungry. Promote on other platforms, and then maybe we can get back to the good old days of talk radio dominance. Walt, what say you?
You know, I agree with you. You know, I grew up on radio. You know, I'm a product of 1958. And, we had a black and white television that had seven channels. you know, radio that had the AM band. You know, that was about it. So, you know, listening to the old talk shows that were on the air, you know, Arthur Godfrey and those guys. Hell, there was more information on talk radio in the early 60s, late 60s, early 70s than there is now with all these freaking electronic devices that we have.
Right.
All these channels that we have on television. You know, the airwaves have to be filled up. The radio waves have to be filled up. And not all of them can be truthful, because there isn't that much truth. You know, you watch headline news, you know, every hour on the hour, they report news for 24 hours, but it's the same thing over and over and over until something else happens. Talk radio was just in the evenings when dad was home, because dad was the breadwinner. Mom was watching soap operas all day, making sure the kids got to school and got home from school and fed them, you know. The news didn't come on until 6 o'clock when dad got home. You see?
Right.
So now it's running all day long because everybody's working except 47% of America now. And they really don't give a flying rat's ass what the other 53% are doing. Talk
right.
Radio will bring you sound news. Remember WINS? Give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world.
Yep.
You know, it was great. You know, Channel 9, Bill Mazur. You remember Bill Mazur giving the sports? It wasn't
yep.
all this nonsense like they got on the MLB channel with these characters, with the Mad Dog, whatever the hell his name is. Chris, whatever
right.
the hell
or,
his
or
name is.
Or Stephen Smith on ESPN. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We could talk about that for another
they got,
hour.
They got washed up ball players standing in suits and ties telling you what other ball players are doing when these guys couldn't do it when they were playing. So, you know, talk radio is it. You know, I listen to a local talk radio station out of Nashville. And, you know, I don't want to mention their names because, you know, they don't sponsor us and we don't sponsor them. But, you know, one used to have a great financial afternoon. Other ones, they talk about what's going on in the morning for 4 hours. Then another one comes on. He does his thing for 4 hours. In the afternoon, a lady comes on. She does her thing for 4 hours. And, you know, the information is it's talk radio. They have people that call in and they ask, you know, a lot of questions. Some of the questions are off the wall, but a lot of questions. And they do their best, like we do, to bring forward the truth. And if you ask me a question and I don't know the answer, I'm not going to just tell you something for the sake of telling you something. I'm going to find out, and then we'll both know. So,
right.
You know, talk radio is important in our world.
Right. And especially this network, we are just so honest. I mean, we're brutally honest. And also, we make sure we verify news stories. And also, since we do this, us and the Cesspool will do this live, for the most part, we'll come out with breaking stories. And also, we go out, we get stories that in news people and newsmakers that people don't get. We went out and got Sean Bergen. Last year, I went to the trucker protest on Constitution Avenue Northwest. And actually talk to the truckers. I mean, in you know, because we're part of the community we serve. And you know, nowadays people work for like CNN, even Fox. They're just like, you know, they think you're the grand old watch. All right, we're going to talk about this. Have some ham and egger who punches a clock come on, and then
throw them in the trash, just like Sean Berger. But anyways, Walt, we got another one in the can. It's a great show as usual. But anyways, folks, this is Peter Scoopstead with Walter Yerkew reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week, everybody.
Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.